We're going to have something special under the influence of the professor in my formation experience. And under the influence of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, we're going to dedicate this service in a special way to a special service of social justice, of care and compassion for immigrants and for migrants. And blessed be God forever, who has brought us together from many diverse backgrounds to share this time of prayer on the memorial of St. Vincent de Paul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me and sent me to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us to pray as saints, the way that we must. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us and the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us and the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us and the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us and the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us and the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us and the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us and the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us and the whole world. So again, in Catholic social teaching, we're learning how to balance different issues and how to not treat them as a political football, but to get involved in the political and social life of our country in a way that shares the gospel with people through starting discussions about issues. So one of the most polarizing issues in our country is what to do about people that wish to migrate into the United States. So the teacher encourages me also to start this visual service and to do what I can through this online apostolate to engage people in this conversation. Let us take a moment, my brothers and sisters, to acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to enjoy listening to God's word today on this feast of St. Vincent de Paul. You were sent to heal the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. You are seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on all of us and on the whole world. Thank you for having mercy on us. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Special readings today, not for St. Vincent de Paul, but for our special service for migrants and immigrants. A reading from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. Do not lacerate your bodies for the dead, and do not tattoo yourselves. I am the Lord. You shall not degrade your daughter by making a prostitute of her. Otherwise the land will prostitute itself and become full of lewdness. Keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Do not turn to ghosts or consult spirits by which you will be defiled. I, the Lord, am your God. Stand up in the presence of the aged Show respect for the old and fear your God. I am the Lord. When an alien resides with you in your land, do not mistreat such a one. You shall treat the alien who resides with you no differently than the natives born among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you too were once aliens in the land of Egypt. I, the Lord, am your God. Do not act dishonestly in using measures of length or weight or capacity. You shall have a true scale and true weights, an honest ephah and an honest hin. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Be careful then to observe all my statutes and decrees. I am the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're going to pray Psalm 120 with this responsory. I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me. To the Lord, in the hour of my distress, I call, and he answers me. O Lord, save my soul from lying lips, from the tongue of the deceitful. I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me. What shall he repay you in return, O treacherous tongue? The warrior's arrows sharpened, and coals red hot blazing. I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me. Alas, that I abide a stranger in Melchish, dwell among the tents of Kedar. Long enough have I been dwelling with those who hate peace. I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for fighting. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 8. We know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him? Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who acquits us. Who will condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, rather, was raised, who also is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. What will separate us from the love of God? Will anguish or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being slain all the day long. We are looked upon as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, He will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say to him in reply, "Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least of my brethren, you of mine, you did this for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me." Then they will answer and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or ill or in prison, and not minister to your needs?" He will answer them, "Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me." And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. For tonight, I think I'm just going to ask that we listen to part of a Catholic social teaching presentation given by Father Rob Galea, actually within my own class last year. Let me see if I can get the sound to share.
Probably going to be the hardest thing because, for example, try to win a Trump supporter over to immigration reform and see how much discomfort and sacrifice that involves. But that's ultimately what we're called to do as catechists and as informed lay leaders, is to be able to facilitate these types of socialization between different groups of people who are usually in conflict, bring them to listen, bring them to learn, so that ultimately the Christian community acts as one, because that's the only way it can change the political culture. It's not going to change when half the parish cancels out the other half, the votes of the other half. It's not going to change that much, in my opinion. Give me a thumbs up if you can see and hear.
Dr. Jean, this is a real situation. 45 million people are displaced today because of natural disasters, because of oppression, because of slavery, because of disasters, because of war, and they go. You see, God wants each and every one of us to have a home, because in a place called home is where we find security, we find comfort, we find peace. And so this place is non-existent for them. And even though we have to have territories, who is to say that this is my place and this is your place? And the people of God are still wondering, even though we would set up walls and we set up places and we guarded our places. But what about these people of God, in the image of God, who have nowhere to call home? At the same time, it's a real tension, because we have a right to regulate migration. We have a right to protect ourselves. I can't say I open the doors and let every single person who wants to come in to come into our doors, because one, they change our cultures, two, they change religions, three, how do you cater for all of these people? It's a real question, and it's a question that the church has asked. after generation after generation. But it's also our duty as Christians to protect innocent victims. So there's the tension on one end, that we need to protect our own land, and on the other end, that we need to protect the innocent. How does it work? Well, it works with a thing called compromise. You see, we have to compromise our comfort. And in order to cater for the work of God, now, I'm not going to go into details of how things are done, but the thing is, here's where we become sinful. This is where we become sinful, where we are not ready to compromise our comfort to open the doors to others. Now, it's not just you and me, it's government, it's organizations. We are in a world where we're so covered, so vulnerable, so need our comfort that we let people drown in emotion before we open the door to them. We are so comfortable in our places that we refuse to let people in who are dying. And we try to get them to qualify and qualify and qualify, and they end up dying in detention centers. Where is the justice in this? But at the same time, how do we protect our own place without compromising our faith and compromising our culture and without compromising our territory? I don't have an answer. Church doesn't have a perfect answer. I just think about it. If that was Jesus knocking at your door, what would you do? This is very often the case with us. We slam the door because we're afraid of becoming uncomfortable. That's a question I need to ask my conscience, in my own conscience, in my own stillness. But at the same time, also, there needs to be some regulation. You can't just open doors all the time and let people in for no reason, because people do take advantage of that. But, yes, the question we need to ask as individuals is, what are we doing to become uncomfortable, to open our doors and our hearts to people who are? Lord, I want to have my heart open to you. I don't have all of the answers. I cannot open the doors myself. But Lord, let me be ready to become uncomfortable. There was a protest in the UK, and they were protesting actually for refugees. They were saying, let the refugees in. And then these interviewers come in and interview those with the sign saying, okay, you're protesting this, but would you have a place in your apartment to put them in? To put one person in, and they come with a petition and with a form, say, hey, we'll just take your name, we'll just put one refugee in your home. 100% of the people said, no, I cannot, I don't have place in my home, I rent, or I don't have, I have a wife and kids, and I cannot do this. See, the thing is, not what the country can do only, but what am I doing to allow God's people into my heart, allow myself to become uncomfortable so that I can open my heart to the needs of those who desperately need a home and place to rest their head. Lord, open my heart, open my mind to understand what you want from me. Give me the courage to become uncomfortable so that I can serve others, so that I can open my heart to your people.
Hi, Father Rob. So then why do some people start to complain about the government focusing too much on the refugees rather than their own people that, you know, they're struggling maybe with something such as poverty? So how would you respond to someone who makes that sort of statement?
Well, it's the responsibility of the government to protect people, and also it is the responsibility of the government to look out for it. Also, I think there is a side of social justice, there's the side of the government recognizing, yes, in a good government, that we need to compromise some of our development, yes, in order to look at the greater good. But then not at the cost as well of compromising the livelihood and the dignity of our people. So yes, there are pressures that come from outside, and there are some documents that have been signed with policies like the World Health Organizations and other organizations that they have to comply. There's a certain amount of refugees by international law that they have to take in. There's a certain amount of aid that they have to give to comply to international law. How they do it is always looking at the policies and how they can best serve their people.
Hi, Father Rob. So I was just wondering, you have these people trying to come, you know, seek refuge from different avenues, and they might be going through migration, and they might, you know, be seeking asylum. So how do we sort of decide who we can and can't help?
Well, I think there are a number
illegal immigration, but then illegal immigrants are given status like refugee status. And once they're given refugee status, there's a whole measure of criteria that need to be given and qualified before they get this status. And for example, in the Australian government, they have to make sure that they really don't have a place to call home, and if they went back home, that their life or their family's life would be in danger. This would be a place where maybe their home no longer exists through natural disaster. So there are a number of criteria that need to be met. If they are not clear, this is where we have detention centers, and this is where it becomes dirty and becomes so unjust, because sometimes people can't prove because they don't have passports, they don't have documents. And so sometimes we have to give people the benefit of the doubt, and this is where a lot of Catholic institutions fight for them, because they are a non-person, literally, have no power, no voice, they are the voiceless. Because without the passport, without status, you could say you're from this country, but there's nothing to say that you are. You could say that you've come this way, but there's nothing to say that you have. And so this is where a lot of Catholic institutions stand in and help and become the voice for the voiceless.
Hi, Father Rob. I wanted to ask, how do we as a society navigate the tension between letting refugees in, but then also cooperating with unethical activities like human trafficking through people smuggling?
It is the responsibility, again, of governments, of states, of places to have the right policies in place to make sure that the vulnerable are protected. There are a lot of good organizations that are good at discerning these things and finding these things. So we have to figure out, balance out this injustice with the need for justice, so that people find their dignity at home.
I'm wondering what the church does to promote the protection of refugees on a global scale.
Okay, so on a global scale, the church as an institution is the biggest advocate, the biggest supporter for helping people find a home, through institutions like Caritas, through Catholic Mission, and also the Vatican and the Pope has set out documents as well to make sure that the church works and does everything it can to reach out to those in need. This is an ongoing situation and it will never end, and so the church has to continuously work together as an institution and work together with governments and with organizations to make sure that we can at least one person at a time alleviate the pain for one person at a time. We can't solve the whole problem, we can save possibly one person at a time. So if you join with me, look.
So we have only looked at two issues. I just want to note for all attendees and viewers. All right, so that was interesting. Father Rob gives you a tremendous amount of insight into how the church principles of Catholic social teaching would apply to this issue. And again, if you have further questions, feel free to send us an email at Faith Hope Love Ministry, and maybe we start a little discussion or something through the internet. That wasn't so bad. It really wasn't. I'm going to continue this session. We're going to profess the Apostles or the Nicene Creed. We're going to have our prayer for St. Vincent de Paul, who I think it's providential that we're doing this exercise, this prayer vigil for homeless and migrants and those in need on his feast day, because very few people did as much for the people that were, as Father Rob said, undocumented, just without power, either because they were poor or for some other reason than St. Vincent de Paul in his own life back in the 1700s or something like that. So let's start with that prayer, to say the prayer for St. Vincent de Paul. O God, who for the relief of the poor and the formation of the clergy endowed the priest St. Vincent de Paul with apostolic virtues, grant, we pray, that afire with the same spirit we may love what he loved and put into practice what he taught. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let them thank the Lord for his mercy, his wonders for the children of men, for he satisfies the thirsty soul, and the hungry he fills with good things. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all good things, and of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. With prayer and thanksgiving, we now make our petitions known to God the Father. For the shepherds of the church, for the Pope, bishops, and priests, that their faithful teaching and preaching may lead all God's people into the one sheepfold of grace. We pray for an end to the cold-hearted reality of political calculation, division, narcissism, and hatred in America. We pray for an end worldwide to religious persecution and terrorism, both state-sponsored and individual. We pray for our parishes to be more devoted to Jesus in the Holy Eucharist and draw strength from this for all their other commitments. That Christian families be strengthened to face every challenge and difficulty and to grow in holiness. For all the poor, those who struggle through the immigration process, those fleeing countries looking for a better life, or fleeing religious or other persecution, that those who are suffering and all those who are lonely in their houses and homebound may be touched by the love of Christ and find members of the church that will help them in their need. We pray for those who are homebound and for those who are suffering any type of loneliness, and for all who do not as of yet know the love of Jesus, that they may come into contact with that love and may be evangelized and find others to help them. For the grace this week to recognize in our lives that we too are a nation of diversity and love, but also of integration, values, and order, that we may find the strength to find not so much compromise, but strength and power in the Holy Spirit to turn back to God and find healing and strength to restore justice. And for all your personal intentions, we pray to the Lord. Loving Father, let the peace of heaven that surpasses all understanding guard our hearts and minds through Christ our Lord. Amen. And I think we can say that prayer perhaps one more time, and that's going to wrap up our service of actually, I do want to put in our usual divine office readings, and I want to pray a chaplet to end this prayer vigil for the migrants and for those in need. A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The angel brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the facade of the temple was toward the east. The water flowed down from the southern side of the temple, south of the altar. He led me outside by the north gate and around to the outer gate facing the east, where I saw water trickling from the southern side. Then when he had walked off to the east with a measuring cord in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and had me wade through the water, which was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 and once more had me wade through the water, which was now knee deep. And again he measured off 1,000 and had me wade. The water was up to my waist. And once more he measured off 1,000, but there was now a river through which I could not wade. For the water had risen so high it had become a river that could not be crossed except by swimming. He asked me, "Have you seen this, son of man?" Then he brought me to the bank of the river, where he had me sit. Along the bank of the river I saw very many trees on both sides. He said to me, "This water flows into the eastern district, down upon the Iroba, and empties into the sea, the salt waters, which make it fresh. Wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live, and there shall be abundant fish. Wherever this water comes, the sea shall be made fresh. Fishermen shall be standing alone along it from Enjilda to En-Ilium, spreading their nets there. Its kinds of fish shall be like those of the great sea, very numerous. Only its marshes and swamps shall not be made fresh. They shall be left for salt. Along both banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine. Responsory prayer. I saw water flowing eastward from beneath the threshold of the temple. Wherever this water flows, everything shall live. The water I shall give you shall become in you a spring welling up to eternal life. Wherever this water flows, everything shall live." And for St. Vincent de Paul, the proper reading is from a writing by St. Vincent de Paul, priest. "Serving the poor is to be our first preference. Even though the poor are often rough and unrefined, we must not judge them from external appearances, nor from the mental gifts they seem to have received. On the contrary, if you consider the poor in the light of faith, then you will observe that they are taking the place of the Son of God, who chose to be poor. Although in his passion he almost lost the appearance of a man, and was considered a fool by the Gentiles, and a stumbling block by the Jews, he showed them that his mission was to preach to the poor. He sent me to preach the good news to the poor. We also ought to have the same spirit and imitate Christ's actions. That is, we must take care of the poor, console them, help them, support their cause. Since Christ willed to be born poor, he chose for himself disciples who were poor. He made himself the servant of the poor and shared their poverty. He went so far as to say that he would consider every deed which either helps or harms the poor as done for or against himself. Since God surely loves the poor, he also loves those who love the poor. For when one person holds another dear, he also includes in his affection anyone who loves or serves the one he loves. This is why we hope that God will love us for the sake of the poor. For when we visit the poor and needy, we try to be understanding. Where they are concerned, we sympathize with them so fully that we can echo Paul's words, 'I have become all things to all men.' Therefore, we must try to be stirred by our neighbor's worries and distress. We must beg God to pour into our hearts sentiments of piety and compassion, and to fill them again and again with these dispositions. It is our duty to prefer the service of the poor to everything else, and to offer such service as quickly as possible. If a needy person requires medicine or another help during prayer time, do whatever has to be done with peace of mind. Offer the deed to God as your prayer. Do not become upset or feel guilty because you interrupted your prayer to serve the poor. God is not neglected if you leave him for such a service. One of God's works is merely interrupted so that another may be carried out. So when you leave prayer to serve some poor person, remember that this very service is performed for God. Charity is certainly greater than any rule. Moreover, all rules must lead to charity. Since she is a noble mistress, we must do whatever she commands. With renewed devotion, then, we must serve the poor, especially outcasts and beggars. They have been given to us as our masters and patrons. Responsory prayer. Though I am not bound to anyone, I became a slave to all. To the weak, I became weak. I became all things to all men, that I might at least save some. I was eyes for the blind and feet for the lame. I was a father to the poor. I became all things to some. I became all things to all men, that I might save at least some. Vincent consoled the sorrowful, defended the rights of orphans, and generously aided widows. Whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you do for me. God, our Father, you gave St. Vincent de Paul the courage and holiness of an apostle for the well-being of the poor and the formation of the clergy. Help us to be zealous in continuing his work. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let's finish this off by praying the chaplet of divine mercy for those immigrants and migrants, and for our own hearts and public policies. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood. I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father, the Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Bless us, Lord. Offer plenary indulgence for the soul in purgatory or equivalent graces. In the name of the Father, I offer my plenary indulgence or equivalent graces for this liturgy of the word and time of reflection and prayer with the chaplet during this year of hope, if possible. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a beautiful rest of your night.